94.9 KUOW Seattle, Thursday, March 1st, 2007. I'm Amanda Wild. In music, the ending is just the beginning. Few of us dare to go past a stopping point, but Seattle funk legend and keyboardist Overton Berry discovered that when it was time to finish, he was just getting started. Today, Overton opens our ears to the sound of transformative endings.
Endings are wonderful. It's the last thing people remember. It's the ending. Most of the endings that I've come across have been strictly accidents. And there's another thing happens. If you have a limited section of a song, like an ending, and you have the song going on in your mind or the feeling of the song, the essence of that song, what you do then is begin to make that ending a song.
How did you first discover this working with endings?
Well, you know, years ago when I was very young starting off and I worked in other bands with more experienced musicians, these old timers would always say, okay, the most important part of the song is the beginning and the end. Especially ending because it's the last thing they remember. Apparently that stuck way out of context in my mind. Okay, I just carried it on. But somebody came in and requested the song Hey Jude while we were playing music. And I told the guy, I said, I don't know that song. And my bass player leaned over and he said, yeah, we can do it. And I said, Charlie, I don't know it. And he says, no, we're just going to do the ending and we're just going to develop it. And he just showed me the first four or five notes in the melody and told me what the chords were, and we started. And these guys were so good, they started adding things to it, which inspired me to add things to it. And next thing we knew, this thing just developed and turned out to be a piece in itself. Well, the general manager of the hotel happened to walk in while we're doing this. And he walks up to me and he said, Overton, you got to put this on the record. And I said, no, you don't understand. It's just the ending of Hey Jude. I don't care. I want it just that way. No, you can't want it just that way. No, I want it just that way. I thought, oh, man, this is so stupid. This is going to be really bad. But in the meanwhile, we started getting requests for this thing. So we started getting into it, and it became a complete number to us. So when the recording time came, we just recorded it. And one would think that was the end of the story, because this was, I don't know, 70, 71. But the band was so successful at the Doubletree, and of course, the music scene in Seattle was great. But this was way out in the middle of South Center. The only thing out there was the mall, a gas station, and the Doubletree Inn. The rest of it was swamp. And so people would come from the airport area in Renton and places like that, even Seattle, and drive out there. So it became a hot number, and people could dance to it. And I'm thinking, okay, this is good. Years later, my son Sean had a friend who wanted to use this Hey Jude thing. And I told Sean, I said, you know, you have to tell him that this is only the ending of the song. To make a long story short, he decided he wanted to use the Hey Jude just as it was. So he put it on a compilation CD called Wheedle's Groove. Okay, that was fine. About 2 months before the release party, he called me up and he said, Overton, I want to submit this to a magazine called Mojo Magazine. Comes out of London, England. And they're doing another CD on Beatles songs, covers. I said, Matt, look, no, we can't do it. That's England, the home of the Beatles. We cannot do that. That's just, they will come out of the ground and beat us up. And he said, no, I'm just going to submit it. They probably won't accept it. Needless to say, it was accepted by the magazine. They put out 70 or 80,000 copies of CDs with American artists covering Beatles songs. And the funny thing about it was, and you'll love this, Amanda, our version of Hey Jude was the last thing on the CD. Earlier in the CD, there was Wilson Pickett's version, totally, of the whole song of Hey Jude. And I thought, oh, this is crazy. This is just absolutely crazy. But they put it out in the magazine, and it was incredible.
Let's hear a little bit of this version of Hey Jude, which you originally improvised on at the Doubletree Inn, where you're performing in the early, early 70s.
Yeah. In fact, the reason it starts off with the bass is because I had to listen to the bass player to make sure I understood what the melody and where these chords were going to fall.
So here's Hey Jude from Overton Berry Trio. Musician Overton Berry discovered that some of the most resonant music improvises on the endings of songs, and where he first discovered that was with the one we just heard, Hey Jude. You sounded so surprised that this went anywhere. So what now do you think it is that so captured people about this?
I don't really know, except I think there's all kinds of stuff going on in the contemporary music scene that a lot of the old stuff really fits. It really works with it almost better than some of the new things that are coming out. It's kind of mind-blowing that way.
Now, you did this with another song about, what, a year afterwards. How did you end up taking this ending and
working
on it?
Well, what happened there was actually we put together a medley of the songs from Jesus Christ Superstar. That was in the 70s. In the early 90s, when I was working in Asia a lot, I had a call from an outfit in San Francisco that wanted to know if they could put the Superstar theme on a compilation CD. And I said, why? And he said, well, we've been playing it in San Francisco for 20 years now, and people love it in the bars, they love it in the clubs. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, this is a medley that takes 8-10 minutes to go through. It goes through all kinds of tempo changes. How can you dance to this? I mean, we could barely play it, you know? And it took a while before I realized, they let me know, no, we only want to use the last song. And I said, you want to use the ending of this medley? Yeah. And I thought, here we go again. Okay. And it's just amazing. That thing has just gotten all kinds of play.
Let's hear this ending.
The ending to a medley.
This is Superstar.
Superstar.
Overton Berry is here describing the role of endings in the creative process, and we just heard the ending of a medley that you did called Superstar. Yes. It was interesting. You had said to me previously that you do a lot of medleys because you don't know the endings of songs, yet here we are talking about how you've improvised on the endings of songs to make some of the most enduring songs in your repertoire.
Well, I think it's because at some point you must end. You know, the whole idea since early times has always been variations on a theme, no matter how simple it is. One of the greatest songs ever written is Duke Ellington's Sea Jam Blues. The melody is two notes. Probably the shortest melodic song there ever was, but it's what everybody does with it.
You mentioned with Hey Jude, someday I'll have to learn that whole thing. Why didn't you ever learn the whole song?
I did not have a concept for the beginning of the song that I felt would match the ending that we had developed.
Well, appropriately, we're going to finish with another ending that really isn't an ending. Can you explain a little bit about Solo de Spano that you brought in?
Another medley from the motion picture Black Orpheus we did. At the end of the medley, in the samba, is a drum solo, and Rick Spano, our drummer. And when we finished the recording, the engineer, Keith Terhune, said, you know, this is almost like another song in itself. He decided to title it Solo de Spano. Maybe that's a story in my life. You know, Amanda, I think it is. I'm just an ending kind of guy.
Let's hear this last piece, then, the Solo de Spano, the drum solo that ends the album from the Overton Berry Trio called Live at Admiral, live album recently issued. Overton Berry's here, and we're talking about the fact that an ending is not necessarily a conclusion.
You know, this whole theme about endings will probably be the beginning of psychoanalysis for me.
Because it has come up.
It has come up.
For decades now.
More than I realized before.
I'm sorry we brought it up, but since we have, does this translate? Have you seen any parallels between your experiences with endings in music and everyday life?
I think I'm surprised a little bit by it all the time because it becomes a new thing. The ending is the mark of a beginning.
Overton, I want to thank you so much for coming in. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Oh, thank you, Amanda.
Find out more about Overton Berry at overtonberry.com. You can find links at the Beat homepage at kuow.org. I'm Amanda Wild, Thursday, March 1st, 2007, 94.9 KUOW.